Welcome to Healthcare IT Today. I'm John Lin, together with my colleague and friend, Colin Hung. The world of technology and healthcare are ever-changing in new and novel ways, and that's why we love this stuff so much. So join us as we discuss the latest healthcare and health IT news meshed together in new ways, which help generate ideas and new perspectives. Plus, we'll have a little fun along the way. On today's episode, we'll be talking about consolidation in health IT. Today's episode is sponsored by the Braff Group, a leading M&A advisory firm. Learn more about the Braff Group at braffgroup.com. That's Braff with two Fs, B-R-A-F-F group.com. And be sure to follow the show on Twitter at the hashtag HITSM and our personal accounts at TechGuy and at Colin_Hung. Plus, check out our 13 years of health IT blog content at healthcareittoday.com. You excited to talk about consolidation?
I am. It's always a great topic. It seems to be happening more and more lately, so very timely.
Yeah, no, I love talking about this. It's always exciting, scary, and depends on which perspective you're looking at it. So it'll be a fun discussion.
Absolutely. So today we've got four topic areas to discuss. We're going to talk about some recent mergers and acquisitions, and then we're going to talk about where we think some consolidation may be happening in the future, so looking into our crystal ball again. And then we're going to bring it back to the practical and just sort of discuss for healthcare provider organizations, the CIOs particularly, what are some of the opportunities and challenges that this consolidation will present, and how can you prepare your organization for the inevitable wave of consolidation that's going to hit it? So those are the four topics that we're going to be tackling today, John.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I don't think we'll be able to cover everything because there have been so many acquisitions.
Well, there have, and that's probably the best way to start. So let's talk about some of those recent acquisitions. I know you and I, before we started recording, we're talking about a few of them. Why don't you share some of the ones that are top of your list?
Yeah, so two of the categories that I found interesting trends kind of happening with recent mergers and acquisitions is in the communication space. So the big one I think is PerfectServe is really, after being acquired by private equity, has now gone on a nice little tear acquiring Telmedic, acquiring Lightning Bolt, and they also acquired CareWire. So, you know, they're becoming a very large player in the space, PerfectServe is, you know, obviously backed by private equity money. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they go out and acquire a few more. It'll be interesting to see if Vocera or Spock or some of the other large companies respond in kind with their own acquisitions, maybe even just as a defensive mechanism to buy up market share. So that was a big one that I saw in the communication space.
Yeah, and I've got two that kind of stuck out in my mind, mostly because of who the acquirer was. And they're sort of these non-traditional healthcare players. I know that's a topic we talked about before. But one was the recent acquisition of Liaison by OpenText. So OpenText being the technology firm that's mostly known for its document management workflow type solutions for a variety of industries. Obviously, healthcare is a growing one for them, and they've made some investments in that area, Liaison being the latest. I also know that they've hired a lot of people in that healthcare group, so definitely they're growing in this space to grow their presence. The other one that I found very interesting was, of course, the very recent announcement of the acquisition of Volt, which is a communications player, by Hill-Rom, which is obviously more known for its IoT and its hard goods type business. So, you know, Hill-Rom and OpenText, you know, although Hill-Rom is a player in healthcare and is well known, they're not traditionally known as a health IT player. And OpenText just isn't a major player in the healthcare yet. So I just found those two to be very interesting. We're seeing this sort of other organizations now use the acquisition route to get deeper into healthcare.
Yeah, and I think the acquisition of Volt's going to be interesting against the PerfectServe framework as well. And, you know, with Hill-Rom's dollars and investment, and, you know, they actually do have a lot in the RTLS space and, you know, in the bed space and a number of those things. So they went for more of you having the full stack to offer a hospital, exactly. Whereas PerfectServe said, let's have market share of the communication platform. So it'd be interesting to see those two kind of butt heads against each other. The other ones that I saw is I saw a number of ambulatory ones, and obviously the big, you know, blockbuster one was Athena Health being acquired by Veritas, and you know, also they acquired GE, but we've seen a whole bunch of others. So Marlin Equity has acquired multiple over the years, and include plus they even acquired AdvancedMD and then sold AdvancedMD to another private equity. And AdvancedMD has acquired NewMD. SRS Health just was acquired by Nextech. So we're seeing some interesting consolidation in the ambulatory EHR space that I think is pretty interesting to watch. And I think we'll see even more of that.
Yeah, definitely. That's sort of our next topic anyways. But, you know, there's definitely been an increase in mergers and acquisitions. I mean, I recently wrote a piece around the amount of PE money that seems to be coming into the space. And of course, that is fueling a lot of acquisitions. You know, a lot of people are taking that as a good sign. You know, it's a healthy sign that the industry is maturing, and, you know, that the big, you know, there will be some big players at the end of all of this. And, you know, that money that's coming in is, you know, obviously fueling a lot of the acquisitions, a lot of the mergers. So, I just think it's definitely going to increase rather than decrease this year. I mean, PwC's latest numbers are showing that there's going to be a market increase in the amount of M&A activity in the healthcare and the health IT space. So I think the message I guess I'm saying is, you know, hold on to your hats. It's going to keep going like this for the rest of the year.
Do you think the PE money is good or bad? That's such a hard question for me.
Yeah, I think in the long run, it's probably a good thing. You know, the number of vendors that we do have is quite diverse, and I think the market can bear some consolidation. I think, though, from an end user point of view, from a CIO's perspective at a hospital, it's in the short term probably painful, right? You know, if you were on a platform, that you liked and it was working, and then all of a sudden it gets acquired and gets merged with something else, and all of a sudden there's a brand new platform that you have to switch to, that might not be so great. But I think overall in the long term, it will be a good thing for the industry.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that kind of moves to the next one, talking about, you know, where is all this headed? And I actually am on the advisory board for Braff Group and worked with them on some of their health IT acquisition understanding. And what was interesting, that they found, and you know, we've seen, is that, you know, there haven't been a whole bunch of serial acquirers like there have been in the provider space. And so, you know, I think that's a pretty interesting insight to look at, you know, and will that change with the PE money coming in? I don't know. I think it will be interesting to find out. So, you know, that's one thing I think to look at when you look at consolidation. When I look at where is consolidation going to happen next, I think there's a number of different interesting areas. Obviously, we've talked about ambulatory and communication. I think those two will continue. But the other one I think is going to be a big one is the analytics space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see if Health Catalyst, now they just were announced recently that they're going to do an IPO. They're obviously a billion-dollar unicorn just based on their private funding. They would be one that would make sense to acquire various IP around analytics that are useful. But it will be interesting if they go that route. And is analytics a consolidable space, or, you know, is it really not something that needs to be consolidated? It's something that can be replicated without, you know, having to acquire the other company. I think it'll be interesting to see that play out. But I think there is potential for an organization to really acquire in the analytics space, both the data and access to the data, but also the understanding of that data and being able to apply it to healthcare organizations.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to something that, I can't take credit for. This came from Paul Black, CEO of Allscripts. You know, in a conversation I had with him, he was basically saying, you know, and I agree with him, where there will probably be a lot of consolidation in the near term is around platforms. Right. So a lot of PE money coming in, what they want to do is, you know, buy a particular company that can serve as the anchor point and then buy up companies that complement that what they've already purchased, right? So that layering on effect. So if I bought an EHR, for example, I'm going to go out and buy the add-on tools that will round out that stack for me. So in the end, I have a massive platform. I can do the synergies of cost takeout, and at the end have something that, you know, where once there were seven companies, is now a single platform. It all works together. It all integrates together. You know, I think that's definitely where we're going to see some consolidation. It's really more around complementary services and complementary technologies, bringing together into a platform that can then be sold as a whole, as a single vendor, as opposed to having, you know, to do with seven. What you also said was interesting, John, around the whole, you know, why haven't we seen a serial acquirer in healthcare? I think it's partly to do with the fact that, you know, I think as soon as you acquire two or three, you suddenly realize how difficult it is to actually consolidate technologies in healthcare, not alone just the user bases, but just the technologies themselves. They aren't as compatible as people think they are. And I think smartly, there hasn't been a serial acquirers because they want to digest the acquisitions that they have made and actually make it work together first before they tackle the next one. So I just think it's turned out to be a little bit more complex than people have thought.
No, and I think the data proves that out, right? That, you know, it's a challenge. And so, you know, that creates interesting opportunities for acquisitions. And usually the, you know, where the consolidation, if you will, happens is a bit of a surprise. You know, I always remember when Amazing Charts was acquired, and it was acquired by a CME company. And I'm like, Where did that come from? You know, what was the thinking there? You know, so, you know, I think we've seen some interesting acquisitions over time.
Yeah, and I think we'll continue to see the interesting ones. You know, we've already talked about Hill-Rom and companies like that. But, you know, I'm looking at other companies like Stryker. I look at companies like 3M, other big name players in the healthcare space, but maybe who haven't got a large, large health IT presence. They, you know, they've been, I won't say on the sidelines, but certainly they have a lot of money and a lot of equity to bring to bear. And, you know, is the time ripe now for them to kind of dive in and buy up some of these companies that can complement what they're already doing in those other spaces? Because they've already got the sales force, they've already got the marketing and the brand recognition that a lot of these companies don't have. So anyway, that's, I'm going to be very interested to see if any of those players come in the next little while.
Yep, definitely.
All right. And with that, John, I think we're sort of the midway point. So for anyone who's just tuning in, I'm Colin Hung. That's my friend John Lin, and this is Healthcare IT Today, the radio show that talks about the latest happenings in healthcare. And today's episode is brought to you by our friends at the Braff Group. And John, why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned, I'm actually on the advisory board for them. And for those not familiar with the Braff Group, they're an M&A firm focused on mergers and acquisitions. And they've done more than 325 transactions since 1998. So they've just done a ton of transactions. I know when I first met them, I was shocked at, you know, like this other world of M&A and how many skills they had and that they brought to bear in helping make a deal happen and understanding how the deal process works. So they focus on helping the sellers. So they're a very sell side organization. They want to help sellers get the most value out of their organization. One thing I really love about them is that they work hard to understand the seller and to, you know, find a great home for that company, which I know is important to many health IT companies and founders, that not just, yeah, I mean, certainly the cash matters and that's important, but also, you know, why are they selling and who are they selling to and what's the future for their customers? Because as you know, in healthcare, we really care about our customers and we want them to be successful. So we want to find a good home. So anyway, if you're a healthcare IT company that's looking at possibly selling your organization or looking at new opportunities for your organization, be sure to check them out at braffgroup.com. It's braffgroup.com.
Great. Thanks, John. All right, so let's move on to topic number three. What are the opportunities and challenges that are presented as a result of all of this consolidation that's going on in the health IT world?
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk about it from a provider organization standpoint, because, you know, unfortunately, you know, I think in most cases, the initial fear is this is going to be awful. And in many cases, it is. Unfortunately, right? Like when it gets acquired, it often is a bad result, depending on why it was acquired, And so that's, I think, the first key. If you ever are in a position where your health IT software is acquired by another company, understand why were they acquired. Were they acquired for market share? Were they acquired for their technology? Were they acquired for, for their people? What was the reason that the other company acquired them? If it's just for market share, then guess what? You're probably going to have your software sunsetted, and you need to plan for that. And, are you okay moving to the other software? No doubt they have another software you can move to. So you're going to have to go through that process of evaluating. Do you want to stay with that software? Do you want to move to another one? If they acquired it for the technology, then that's actually your safest bet, because very likely they're going to stick with the technology, and then they're just going to explode it and make it bigger and better. They're going to invest in it. They're going to grow it, and that's going to be a great result for you. So in that case, you're going to be very happy with the acquisition. If they're just going for the talent, that one's hard to say, but often that means you're going to be sunset eventually as well. But you can often figure this out, right? If you look at why are they acquiring it, try to understand, where does it make sense? Do they have overlapping products, and understand what is the future for that? The nice thing is that there's been very few cases, and it's probably due to records retention laws and other things like that in healthcare, very few cases where it was acquired and you had to like immediately get off of it. They said, okay, we're sunsetting this within 60 days. It's usually years rather than days, which, in other IT fields, it's days. So, in that regard, you usually have some time to figure it out.
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree with you, John. There's definitely more on the challenge side than on the opportunity side when it comes to these acquisitions and its impact on health providers. Definitely on the challenge side, I agree with you that, depending on the reason for the acquisition, it really determines whether or not you're in for a big headache. I think if someone has acquired an organization and they already have another solution that's similar, then one of the two systems is going to win out, which means one of the two user communities is going to have to switch, right? Or worse yet, they may blend it into a third and then both of them have to switch. So, thankfully those things do happen over time. I mean, I still know some companies that where the acquisitions happened 4 years ago and they're still transitioning people off of those old legacy systems. So none of it, there are very rare exceptions, is like immediate. But, there is the challenge of having to move those user communities over, which is a challenge, of course, for the CIOs and for the individuals that are using those systems.
There is a good opportunity, though, a lot of times in the acquisition. And this is especially true when an organization stopped investing in their product. So a lot of times before an acquisition, a company will basically stop investing in their product in order to make their balance sheet look better so that they get a better acquisition price, so that they have more profits that, help pump up the acquisition price. And so after the acquisition, that often means that they'll start investing in the product again. So it's a great opportunity for you if you want to get in with the new company and understand, hey, are you ready to invest because you stopped investing for the last year and you were just doing patches rather than actually innovating the product? If that's the case, that can be a huge opportunity for you to go to the company and say, hey, here's my laundry list of things we've needed for the last year and they haven't been invested in. And now can you do them? And often you'll get them done. So, there can be a great energy that happens after an acquisition where they weren't investing previously.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I totally agree with you. And I would build on that by adding, there's an opportunity for those that want to take it where, that new company is probably looking for some good customer feedback. And if you want to become that voice, or someone on your staff wants to become that voice, there's a real opportunity to kind of, I won't say be the union leader, but, to gather some of your peers from other organizations and go, hey, guys, like, let's get together and come up with a list of here are the top 10 things that we really like to see in terms of improvements made to the product. Or, hey, on the next platform that you're going to move us to, it better have these 10 things. Otherwise, us 10, we're going to start looking for something else. That has weight with a new organization, especially if you're like 10 very prominent organizations, right, for that particular software that you're on. So there's definitely an opportunity to influence the new company, because I think, for the most part, I think the acquisitions that we're going to see over the next little while are more of the complementary type. They have a platform over here. They add on a technology that they don't have on that platform. So it's an opportunity really to influence when those new owners take over. So there's definitely some opportunities there. Of course, it's work. It's not free. But if you care to put in that effort, I think there's some payoff down the road.
No, definitely. I love the idea of a user group influencer. That's a powerful idea.
I only speak from personal experience because one of our users after an acquisition, that's what they did. And you know what? They were absolutely right. And a lot of what they said influenced the product from that point forward. So it was good on them to do. And they weren't even by far the largest customer, but they had done the outreach to all of the other ones and, you know, self-elected themselves as the voice. So that was kind of a neat thing to see.
Love it. Very cool.
So let's move on to our last question, John, and talk about this one. So how can you prepare your organization for an eventual acquisition or merger of a software platform that you're on?
Yeah, you know, I first learned about this idea when someone told me that they actually were creating essentially a private HIE and a data store of all their EHR. Some might have referred to it as a vendor neutral archive of their EHR, but they've termed it a private HIE as a way to not say, hey, we're creating an archive of your EHR so that one day we can leave you. And that's essentially what the CIO told me. The CIO said, hey, I think a year or two down the road, I'm going to leave this EHR and I need to be ready. And I don't want to be stuck with my data in the EHR. And then they hold me essentially captive, which I know is illegal in the information blocking age, but they do it anyways, right? And there are legal ways to essentially hold you captive. Even if that's true, oh, you can have access to it, but here's the price. And so anyway, they built, and I think that's one of the keys, right? Is where is your data? And is your data accessible on whatever new product you want to go to or that you may need to go to? So thinking about that, I think, is one way. The second is understanding how important is that product to your organization and what does it mean? And, you know, just having a good understanding of that and being able to know where it plays in your organization. And because there's some products that are the lifeblood of your organization, you probably need to track them a little better and understand the corporate environment much better than maybe, you know, one that you could easily replace. So, you know, doing an inventory and knowing which products are really the lifeblood of your organization or not is another good way to prepare and understand, okay, what happens if they disappeared tomorrow? What would we do? You know, doing some thinking along those lines is really valuable.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, what you can do to prepare your organization is just prepare yourself to be portable, right? Whether it's your data, whether it's your process, you know, I would add on to what you're saying. You know, you talked a lot about, you know, making sure that your data and your information is in a state that could be easily or relatively easily moved from one system to another. I would say the same thing about your processes. Right, a lot of people, you know, back in sort of EHR version one, they customized the heck out of those systems to the point where they were your own, basically. And I think nowadays that would make it very difficult for you to move from one system to another. So, you know, one thing you can do as an organization to prepare yourself would be, you know, try to stick with out of the box as much as you can. You know, try to adopt some form of standard, an industry standard, whether that's in terms of nomenclature that you use or whether that's a certain, you know, data standards. But the more you can use a standards-based approach, the better off you're going to be when that day comes when you have to move, right? It's not going to be as jarring. Because there are some mission-critical, you know, applications that have been so customized that only you are the one using this one version. And if that vendor ever went somewhere, you essentially are going to be left holding the bag to maintain it yourself. And there's to re-implement that exact same thing on another platform is going to be expensive. So my recommendation would be try as much as you can, even today, to try and unwind the customizations and go with some standards.
Yeah, and I would add also just having a peer group that you can reach out to when that happens, and that the peers often need to be on other systems. I mean, it's great to have, you know, like we just talked about, having, you know, peers that are customers like you, but it's great to have peers that are on competitive systems so that then if that does hit you in the face, you can go to your peers and figure out what are some alternatives that you can move to relatively quickly and be able to swap to the new products. So So having that peer group and knowing what hassles they have and which ones might fit your workflow the best and your organization the best is a really valuable thing. And they can obviously connect you really quickly to, every salesperson I know loves that phone call, right? Hey, we're looking at switching. That's the best phone call any salesperson ever gets. So, they'll come, come running when you need, but you want to be able to do that analysis beforehand so that you get the right salespeople there to evaluate where you headed or to even just decide to stay with the product that, got acquired, if that's the case. So, you know, being able to do that evaluation quickly is great. I remember this doctor that I ran into that he didn't even know what options were out there. He stayed so siloed. He didn't know what options were even available. So, keeping at least some understanding of the market, and certainly it won't be in depth, but, keeping a general understanding of trends in the market and where it's headed and what options are available is definitely a good strategy as well.
Yeah, and I think another one here to add on to that would be, your existing vendors that you deal with, especially the ones that are mission critical or that are vital to a particular department. You probably have some pretty good relationships with that organization, or if you don't, get some, right? Find, and I'm not saying the CEO of that company, but, whoever your implementation director is, whoever your support person is, get to know them really well and get to really understand some of the subtle language that they use. Because insiders obviously have the inside scoop before you do. And there's usually ways that you can tell whether or not the company is shaping themselves up for acquisition, right? Or at least for an infusion of cash. And that, you mentioned them earlier in this episode, John, around, have they sort of stopped investing in the product as much? Are they really trying to pump up sales, right? Are they looking, have they recently upped your maintenance fees and the monthly fees, right? Those are all signs of, hey, maybe they're shaping themselves up to be acquired. Or they're shaping themselves up to get that infusion of cash to be an acquirer. I mean, either way, you should know. And talking to the people that you have relationships with, that's usually a really good way to get that pulse and keep your tabs on whether or not, you should be worried about that particular piece of software.
It's amazing how relationships is the answer to most problems in the world, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's going to be the basis of an article. I should, 7 signs your vendor is going to be acquired.
That sounds like a great one.
That sounds good. Well, John, that brings us to the end of another episode. So thank you to all of you who have tuned in to this episode of Healthcare IT Today. To find out more details about our show, please check out the programs page on healthcarenowradio.com. And share your voice and engage with the community at healthcareittoday.com and on Twitter using the hashtag HITSM. I'm Colin Hung with my friend in health IT and collaborator John Lin. Thanks for listening and have a great week.